Well, good morning again. It's kind of a little, there's this little thing about performance right now that I'm kind of struggling with. There's this thing I feel like I got to do something really big to beat that. But listen, if it's up to me to beat that, then we're all in the wrong place anyway. So, man, what a great job by our students. Thank you all so much for that display, for our worship team. Thank you guys for just setting the tone, because I believe there is something that God, I don't have to worry about performing, because I know who's in charge, and I know that he's going to show up. He already has. He's here, and he definitely has something really good for all of us. And so I want to just spend some time today talking about why we should consider Jesus. Now, some of you may be hearing like, man, what is this all about? What's the big deal with this whole thing, you know, all the, you know, screaming and yelling and clapping and singing and just all this stuff that we've done to this point? What is it really all about? Some of you are here, and listen, you've been right in the middle of it for a long time, and you're still like, what is it really all about? Well, today I want to tell you that it's all about Jesus and what he has done for you and for me to allow us to have a relationship with him, with the creator who made us all, every single one of us, with a purpose in life. We are all here for some reason. Today, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know, I just don't know. I everything seems to be going against me. Everything seems to go wrong. Everything I touch just falls apart. I must not be needed here. Maybe I'm not supposed to be here. But let me tell you that if you have breath in your lungs, you are supposed to be here. Because God's put you here for some reason. There's somebody that needs you in their life. There's somebody that needs you to be you for them and needs you to bring Jesus to them. Now, I'm just telling you what I know to be true about all of us, because I've been at both places and I know which one is the one that's real. It's here. It's with him, living out my life for him, with him in charge, and him, and following him wherever he leads me to go. And so today this message is about why we should consider Jesus. Listen, if you ask people how do you become right with God, there's a lot of people that are going to give you a lot of different answers. There are a lot of different people just within your little circle of influence, and I say little. I mean, if you put it all over the world, we all have a little one. And so, you know, whether that's your Facebook page, your Instagram page, whatever it may be, if you were to just post on there, hey, how do you become right with God? You would get all kinds of answers, because there's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions and a lot of different ways that they believe you can be made right with God. There's even, we got to fight it out if there's one God or many gods. We got to fight if we're, is it the same God? Or is it a different God, because we call him a different name? I mean, it's crazy how pluralistic our society has become. There's just so many things out there. And so what we have to do is be able to bring that down to what the truth is, and then we have to do what we have to do with the truth. Some people will accept it, and some people won't. But I believe that as I've gone through, that there is a truth that we have to understand. It's more than just some book that was written thousands of years ago. There is proof that there is a reason why. And today, that's what we've been celebrating, is that reason why. And so I want to help us all to come into a place where hopefully we can see it and then be able to either grow in it or begin to accept it and to then let it change us. And so that's where I want us to begin today. Because I think what we come down to is that even though there's a lot of different ways that people say we can get right with God, then that there's some things that we do all agree on. I think if you ask anybody who has an opinion on it, they would probably say that Jesus is a good guy. That no matter whether they profess him as Lord or whatever, that he is a good man, that he taught great things, that he taught to love others, that he taught to take care of people who can't take care of themselves, that he taught that there's a way to live that is right, that allows us all to live together. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. You just never really hear that part. And you really don't even hear a lot of people argue that Jesus even lived, because there's such historical facts to that, they can't really argue that down. But the truth is that there's people out there that have all of these different ways. But yet we still come to some place where we agree on Jesus. And I don't understand why it is that people get so wigged out whenever you begin to talk about Jesus. You can talk about a lot of things. And the moment that you say Jesus, it's like it changes. And I know that in the past there's been a lot of people that have taken Jesus and done things with him that really don't live out what he taught. And so there's a lot of things that we have to make up for. And there's a lot of people who don't want to accept that because then they become accountable to it. But when we look at it, Jesus becomes this polarizing factor in so many of our discussions about how to be made right with God. And really, I think it's because of some claims that Jesus made. See, we want to live in a very inclusive world. We all want to be included in something, right? Nobody wants to be left out. You know, it's why the anti-bullying things and all kinds of things, because people don't want to be left out. They want to be brought in. None of us want to be on our own and just, you know, kind of the Lone Ranger person out there with nobody to help him. Even he had Tonto, right? None of us want to be alone. So we want to be included. But Jesus, though, made some very exclusive comments where he said that there was only a certain way to get to God. And we find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is here, and Thomas, the one of the disciples, those that were closest to him, had asked a question. He says, this is after Jesus has reappeared, has been resurrected. And he says, where are you going? I don't know where we're going. And Jesus said, listen, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to me except through, comes to the Father except through me. There's this statement that he makes. And so there's a way that Jesus has made this exclusive that kind of cuts people out, yet everybody wants to be included. He makes this claim, and a lot of people want to say all roads lead to God, and that's just not true. Not all of them lead there. All religions are the same. No, they're really not. And we have to be very careful about that. Think for a moment together and just recognize that there are some good things and that come out of different world religions. There are some really good things in religions that a lot of people, you know, believe in and that we hear about and that we follow and everything else. And so there are things that we could look to find good things. I mean, think about Buddhists, for instance. They believe that there is no God, and no type of final existence. They believe in countless rebirths, and eventually you hope to end the cycle somewhere. That would be pretty cool to be able to be reborn as somebody else, wouldn't it? You know, to come back and do it all over again as somebody else. You know, I'd love to come back and do it all over again like Bill Gates' money. That would be so cool. You know, I would be styling and profiling. I'd ride up, you know, would you guys let maybe your pastor with a Lamborghini? Well, I guess I couldn't do that. But anyway, so think about it. That would be kind of cool. Hinduism, though, comes in, and they believe in one God. It's a very impersonal God who doesn't have any relationship with him, and it's approached through deities and statues and idols, and you got to worship all these little trinkets and things. Kind of sounds like most of us as Christians. But anyway, that's a whole nother message. I want to get into all that. So people start throwing stuff at me then. But then you take those. There's no offer of forgiveness there, though. There's no supernatural help that comes from anywhere. There's just this thing called karma. And you know what they say karma is, right? It's not fun, right? You don't really want to have to deal with it. It's like, you know, you cut somebody off in traffic and then, you know, you go down a few blocks and then you run into a pole or something. It's just, you know, you're going to get yours somewhere. There's the Muslim faith, which is going to worship a personal God named Allah. The Muslims, they have no secondary gods. There's a ban on idols. I mean, they don't want to deal with any of that stuff. Their standing with God is based totally on their good works and the good things that they do. Being able to put out forth this effort to be made right with God. You contrast that with a new age where there's no type of God, that your goal is just to be one with nature. you know, one with the surroundings, you know, just, you know, I don't know, dance around with, you know, petals, you know, and I don't know, unicorns and stuff. I don't know what that looks like, but anyway, it's this sense of just not, you know, just being one with everything around you, whatever. It's kind of weird to me. But anyway, you kind of contrast all of these things, and there could be good things from them, but yet in the end, that there's no way to really be restored to the relationship with the one who created you. There's no way to have a relationship, no way to be involved, no way to interact truly with the one who made you. And that's where we come today to this place of being able to consider Jesus, because as you know, in the Christian faith, it's believed, we believe that there is one God, creator of all, and that he's just not some guy sitting up, you know, with the long weird hair on a big chair somewhere with a lightning rod in his hand, or in a baseball bat in the other, ready to whop you across the head when you mess up. That's not who he is. He is the creator, the one who has purpose for everybody and loved everybody, knit you together and me together in our mother's womb. He's the one who made us, and he made us for a purpose. He created it all. And then not only did he do that, but then he wants to take that further from just being a standoff God. He wants to be personal. And he wants to have a relationship with you and be able to be involved in your life and to take you to the places that he created you to be and to allow you to experience all that he has for you. It's much different than the others. And so today we want to consider Jesus. And this is not about, listen, I'm not trying to get you to consider my church. I'm not trying to get you to consider a denomination. I'm not trying to get you to consider a particular lifestyle. I'm not trying to get you to consider anything else about it. Not even that you like me or don't like me. That's not the purpose. It's about a relationship with the one who loved you enough to do what we've talked about so far today, that was willing to give his life for you. So today I want us to spend time, in the few moments that we have left, is just to consider Jesus, not to think about what Christians you've interacted with before that you feel like are judgmental and narrow-minded and all of those things. It's not about any of that. This is about you and you alone and your relationship with your Creator. This is about bringing it down to not poking somebody else and make sure they're listening. This is about you being able to hear and understand. So to consider Jesus, there's some things that we have to be able to consider together. The first thing is that we need to consider the ministry of Jesus. Consider the ministry. If you're following along on your program you got when you came in, you can fill in those blanks. But we want to consider the ministry. Consider who he came for and how he treated them. In Mark chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come for sinners. I've come for those who are far away from me, for those who don't have a relationship with me. I've come so that they could know me and be able to be made right with me." It's one of my most, I love reading that scripture and just thinking about that he didn't come for the healthy, but he came for Ron. You know, he came for me, and he came for you, and we can take those names out, and we can put our own names in there and think that's who he did that for. He loved everybody that he came in contact with. He spent time with them, even those that didn't agree with him, those who weren't, you know, heading in the direction that he had for them. He still spent time enough and took time to be able to help them understand the truth. Jesus loved those that everybody else despised. Jesus spent time with people that nobody else wanted to be around. In the video, in the very beginning, we saw as he laid his hands on the leper and healed his skin. Listen, people would cross the street. They didn't want anything to do with lepers. But Jesus went to them and touched them and healed them. He interacted with them. And today, we don't even run people off because they got, you know, bad skin. We run them off because we don't live in the same neighborhood. And we don't talk alike and we don't look alike. But Jesus spent time with all of them. He had a relationship with them. He didn't worry about whether they were clean enough or righteous enough or holy enough. He sought them out. Not only did he come for sinners, but when we look at the ministry that he had, you're blown away. It's mind-blowing the miracles that he performed. God opened blind eyes and he made deaf ears hear. He called the mute to speak and he multiplied loaves and fishes to feed thousands of people. Cast demons out. He even raised people from the dead. His very first ministry, the very first example of it was at the wedding where he takes water and he turns it into Welch's grape juice. Yeah, this is Southern Baptist Church. We got to say that, right? It was wine, y'all. We can argue that later. It was wine. But the truth is that he did things that drew people's attention, not really to himself, but to point people to God, to the Father who loved them. He did these things to make sure that people understood that he didn't come for himself, but he came for them and to glorify the Father in heaven. What's so funny is that the people that were against him really never tried to disagree with his miracles. They just tried to make him look bad. They didn't try to prove any of that because it happened and it was a reality, but they just tried to make him look bad for doing it because he didn't do it on the right day or whatever. It was a mess, and I got to tell you that we see these miracles and I look around the room and there's so many of those miracles in this room. There's so many pitchers of water that have been turned into fine wine. There's people that have been taken from desperate situations, and God's just done some amazing things, and he's brought you to the place that he has you. I just want to share a couple of stories because I think it's important to understand that we read about Jesus' miracles, and we tend to put them off 2,000 years ago when the truth is they're still happening today. They just somewhat look a little bit different because now we've gotten so blinded by lights and all the other stuff that we don't see them for what they really are. But I tell you the story of a young lady who found herself in a very desperate situation. She was an alcoholic. She was trying to work. She was trying to manage her family. She was trying to do things at church. She was trying to do things all over the place. But God began to work in her life, and he had to take her out of the situation she was in and put her in another one to be able to get her attention, to be able to show her and teach her and be able to grow her in the relationship with him. But I'm telling you that pitcher of water is it's a pitcher of fine wine now. It's not perfect, but it's growing. She's sitting right in the same room as you are right now. Now, I'm not mentioning names as I tell these stories today because you're going to get to hear all these stories coming up pretty soon. They don't know they're going to tell you, but they are. I'm putting them on the spot today, and they know who they are. I tell you about a young man who went through some pretty tragic things just trying to deal with, you know, job losses and changes and being able to come in and making some bad choices along the way that put him in a place where it cost him some opportunities that he had. Finding himself at a place where he had some addictions that he was dealing with in a great way. Put him at a place where he finally showed up at my house one night and he said this. He said, I just tried to kill myself. He said, I tied the rope off. I hooked it up I put it around my neck, and I stepped off. But he said, the next thing I knew, I woke up, and where I had tied the rope was sitting on my chest, and I was on my back on the ground. And I was alive. And I knew that as desperately as I wanted to die that night, if I'm alive, then God's got a purpose for me. And it's been a tough road for him, but I got to tell you that he's growing and he's changing. And God's doing amazing stuff in his life. He just doesn't know that God, what I think God's got for him. He's got a long way to go, and God's going to do some great things. He's sitting in the same room with you right now. I'll tell you about a couple. In their marriage, they were at a place where it was done. I mean, they came into my office, and you could feel the animosity. You could feel what was going on in that relationship. You know, one, they had their different places, and one was struggling with some things. One was struggling just trying to be with him, and just, it was a terrible marriage. One of the worst that I've really ever kind of dealt with, just one-on-one, sitting in front of me, and me and them going at it with God in the middle. I think about the names they had said they had called each other and all of the things they had gone through. They'd struggled financially. They'd struggled, you know, just all the areas. But you know what? God began to move, and he began to change both of them. Not just one who seemed to be the one who had the biggest trouble, but he began to bring both of them together and heal that marriage till it's at a place right now where it's probably the best it's ever been. They still have struggles. They still got to live with each other. You know, it's not easy to bring two different personalities together and do it. But they realized that God had done that for them, had brought them to that place, and they understood that it was time for them to do what was right. It was time to not focus on what they wanted on as an individual, but that God had brought them and made them one, and he put them together. See, that's a pitcher of water turned into a pitcher of wine, y'all. That's a miracle. That's a statistic that didn't happen. And I'd love to say that it's because I sat there and talked with them, but it had nothing to do with me. It had all to do with them and God moving in their lives and him taking them and their willingness to do something and allowing it to change. The ministry of Jesus is not over. It's not even close to being over. And listen, some of you are here, and maybe this will be the only time you'll be in church all year. I get that. You know, it's Easter, and I'm so thankful that this is the day that you're here. But listen, when you walk out of here, I want you to take something with you, and don't forget that when you leave here, listen, Jesus kind of can go with you. You can take him wherever you want to go, and that he can continue to work in your life and change you, that it doesn't have to be about just right here. It's about him and your relationship with him, not the church that you may attend or whatever. And that sounds crazy coming from a pastor, because we're narcissistic and we want everybody at our church. But wherever you can grow and be ministered to, that's where I want you to be. Not really narcissistic. I just like myself. But anyway, So consider Jesus and his ministry, that he wants to do something in your life that you've been saying can't be done, that people have been telling you won't ever happen. Listen, I was with somebody this past week, and they looked at me and they said, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yeah." They knew me back in the day. Because see, listen, I'm one of those pitchers of water that got turned into okay wine, I like to say, you know. A little better than Thunderbird, but anyway. So, too many of y'all know what Thunderbird is. Hold up. Oh, yeah, see, I got you. Let me tell you that there's been times where I've been dropped off at my house and I don't remember it to this day. There have been fights that I got into that I don't remember who I fought. There have been people that I've met that, you know, I met them like, you know, several months later. And they were like, "Hey, it's good to see you again." I don't remember them. Now, this is back a while, okay? Don't be like, "Dang, he's a..." Yeah. This was BC days. This was before Christ. So, but I understand what it's like to be in that place, and I understand what it's like to come to a place where you realize that nothing that you can do can fix it other than completely trust Jesus and do what he's already said for you to do. Some of you are struggling in your marriage, and it's because that you just won't give in. Listen, if you're married and you're having trouble, here's how I put it. At some point, you both said that was the person that God wanted you to be with, right? I mean, otherwise, we wouldn't have done that, all right? So you made that commitment, and then you stood in front of somebody who said, you know, that you would be together for better or worse, right? We say for better or for worse, for in sickness and in health, and for richer and for poorer. But some of you only heard healthy, rich, and better. Because I'm going to tell you there's a whole lot of sickness and poor and just, it just is there. And you got to be able to get through all of that. If you're struggling in your marriage, maybe it's time to figure out how you can be healthier. You might not be able to make a lot more money, but you can still be richer, I promise. That was free. That didn't cost you anything. So consider Jesus. Consider the ministry that he has. Consider his resurrection. We've been singing about his resurrection all morning, right? We've been talking about how he was dead and now he's alive. That there's this time where it comes in, and you need to understand the resurrection is so important to our relationship with him. Jesus was miraculously conceived. He was born of a virgin, and because of that, he didn't inherit the sin of his father. See, all of us are born with sin in our lives. It's just because we're human. It's because of the Adam and Eve and the initial sin. It's just now we have that, and it's just part of all of us. No matter how good you think your stuff doesn't stink, it stinks. I'm telling you, we all have it. But he was born of a virgin. He was conceived there. He was born. He lived and grew. And then he came and he gave his life on a cross as a perfect sacrifice. He never sinned. He never failed. He never did anything outside of that, no matter what they try to tell us on the History Channel. He was perfect. And the only way that he could do what he did for us was to be that. And he came and he died on the cross and he paid the price for our sins as the perfect sacrifice, as the perfect lamb. And he was nailed onto that cross so that your sin and my sin could have the price paid. As that blood flowed out of him, it covered your sin and mine. And his death there paid the price. And he was taken off the tomb, or taken off the cross. He was put into a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, God, with all of his love and power, raised him from the dead. So that now not only your sins are paid for if you confess him as Lord, but now because of his resurrection, you can also have that relationship for all eternity. That when you and I die, that we can be resurrected the same. That we don't stay in the ground. Listen, I work for a funeral home part-time. We had a funeral on Friday, and we buried that lady into the ground and covered it up. But because of her profession of faith, because she at some point had accepted Jesus, there's going to come a day where she's coming out of that grave. I've seen what they put around them. I've seen what they cover them with. I've seen it all, and I'm thinking only God could do that. And my faith is, maybe I'm just crazy, but my faith is so strong, I believe that it's just coming up one day. Because that's what he's promised, and I believe what he promises he'll do. Consider the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus predicted, I will give my life, and 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead. 3 days later, the women went to the tomb, and he wasn't there. He was gone. They go back, they get the guys, they run down there, and they're like, he's gone. It was amazing. They were blown away by what had happened. That he had truly done what he said he would do. And they became those that would lead the charge of telling what had happened and what it would look like and how it all came together. And I totally just messed up my notes. And so Acts 3:15 said, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of that. If you witness something, that means you see it, and you were there, and you know it happened. And these guys knew that Jesus had been resurrected. They try to say the Roman soldiers stole the body. Why would they do that? The Romans wanted it to be that way, so they could look better and have more control. They said the disciples came and they stole the body. Listen, a bunch of fishermen came and beat up a bunch of Roman soldiers and took a body. Really? These Roman soldiers were trained. They were bad dudes. They didn't mess around. There ain't no fishermen coming in there and taking the body from them, I'm sure. It didn't happen that way. He didn't just kind of fall asleep and then wake up. He was beaten beyond recognition. He had nails driven in his hands and his feet, and he had a spear shoved into his side. He was dead. But on the third day, he wasn't dead no more. God raised him from the dead. And because of that, you and I can experience that as well. The third thing is this, that we need to consider the eternal message of Jesus. Consider the eternal message of Jesus. Romans 3:22 says this, we are made right with God. See, we asked that question, how are we made right with God? He answered it right here. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone. Do you know what the word for everyone, you know, in Greek, what it means? It means everyone. Okay? Everyone means everyone. That is not an inclusive or exclusive thing. That is very inclusive. That everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Some of you in here today think, I'm too far gone. I have done too much. There's no way. But he says there's a way. He's the way. For everyone who believes, no matter who you are, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for our sins. It's true for everyone who believes. It's true for everyone. It's true for you if you believe. It's true for me if I believe. It's true for every person we'll come in contact with if we'll believe. Here's the thing. Jesus made that claim, and he said the things that he said so that you and I would understand that he wants that personal relationship with every single one of us. That it doesn't have to be your mama's relationship. It doesn't have to be your grandmama's relationship. It doesn't have to be your Uncle Joe's. It's yours. See, we ask this question, how do I get made right with God? We ask that question a lot, especially around funerals, right? Because we like to think that immediately when we die, we're just all of a sudden made right with God, and we're automatically with him, right? I mean, you've been to a funeral, and they automatically say, you know, so-and-so is, you know, she's not here. They're in a better place, and they're, you know, they're with God, and they're an angel now, which that doesn't work like that exactly. But then, you know, they say, you know, poor man, we're so glad grandma's here. And, you know, grandma's just, she's in heaven, just looking down on us right now and keeping watch over us. I don't know about you, but there's some things I just don't want my grandma to watch. You know, you ever thought about that? Maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, so you think about that next time. Yeah, there you go. But listen, everyone who believes can know for without a shadow of a doubt when some pastor stands over your casket and he says those words that you don't make him out to be a liar, that you can make him out to be telling the truth. I got to be honest, I don't say it unless I know. I don't say it unless I've got a pretty good, there's evidence of it. But he said that this is for everyone who believes. That day, standing there, as Jesus died on the cross, there were Roman soldiers watching. And when the earth quaked, and when everything happened, they looked at Jesus on the cross and they said, surely this man was the Son of God. And listen, so at some point, you and I are going to have to answer that question. Some of us have. We've said that is the Son of God. He's paid the price on that cross for my sins. And I've repented of them. I've confessed them. I've turned the other direction. And I'm living my life the best I can. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing everything I can to live it out the way that he wants me to live it. That's the way I do. I know I'm not going to get it right 100% of the time, but I'm going to do my best. And so if I do my best, then I know I'm going to hit a pretty good percentage. That's what he's looking for from you and I. He knows in our flesh we can never be perfect. It's not about being perfect, y'all. It's about being forgiven and set free. And today you can leave here knowing that you are no longer bound to the sin that you've been carrying around. All the junk that's been holding you down and keeping you from using your gifts and your talents the way that God wants you to. You can leave here today knowing that you're free to go and use those things for his kingdom. So today, that's my prayer for you. And for me, I'm praying that, you know, I've made that decision, but I want to do better. I want to be better at what he's, you know, gifted me at. I want to be better at doing the things that I can to help other people know what he can do for them. And if the church will come to a place where we begin to all try to do our best, I promise you people will quit looking at Christians the way they look at them now. But today, you've got to decide, will you consider him? Will you consider who he is? Will you consider the things he's done, the things that he's proven to be who he said he was? Will you consider the message that he brings that you can accept it and be changed for all eternity? Let's pray together. God, I pray in these moments that as we come to a place of just considering who you are and what you've done for us and whether it's for us or not, God, I pray in this moment that we would come and just realize that you loved each one of us. You and your word said that you loved the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That those that would come and believe that he was your Son, that he died on the cross to pay the price for their sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he was raised again, that if we believe and have faith and trust in that it was done for us, that God, that we can be saved, set free. God, you didn't stop there, that you raised him from the dead so that relationship can continue for eternity. And so in these moments, God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts clearly. God, today is a day that you have brought a lot of people together, not just here, but in churches and places all around this world. And you've done that with the simple message that you love us so much that you would go to the greatest length to have a relationship with us. God, surely there are people in the room that have been turned off by church. Good, I'm glad that they can just admit that and confess that. And God, know that this is not about a church. But this is about a Savior that loves them. So God, in these moments, for those who don't know you and never begun a relationship with you, I pray that this will be the time. They would just pray a prayer, not just saying words, but from the heart, acknowledging that Jesus is your Son, that he died on a cross, paying the price for their sins, was buried and raised again. And God, because of that, they can be forgiven and set free for all eternity. And by acknowledging that, they are free, they are saved. God, you called us to then turn from our sin. So, God, it's not about saying a prayer and getting up and going back to the way we were, but it's about acknowledging who you are and then seeing how you want us to live. God, there's people here afraid to make those decisions because of the changes it will take. But God, I pray that you would let them know there are people here to walk through those changes with them, to love them through it. And that most importantly, God, that you are right there to never forget them and never walk away from them. God, do what you need to do in these next few moments. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.